Good morning. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 88. Psalms 88. It's good to be with you all this morning. And what I have this morning is a very simple message. I've got a simple message that hopefully everyone in here will be able to understand. And that everyone in here will be able to, when this service is over, if the Lord enables us to pay even a bit of attention, will be able to answer two questions. The title of this message is Stuck in a Pit. Stuck in a pit. And the two questions I want us to answer. First, how did I get in the pit? And the second question is, how do I get out of the pit? Just two questions. How did I get in the pit? And how do I get out of the pit? The first thing we need to know is, what is a pit? The Bible uses that word a lot. Our Lord uses it throughout the Old and the New Testament, and it's translated many different ways. But a pit is basically a hole. It's a ditch. It's a cistern. It's a well. But more specifically, it's often referred to as an abyss, a deep, bottomless pit. It sometimes is translated with words such as corruption or destruction. It has a negative connotation to it. And in this message, I want us all to understand that this pit is something that we're using, or the Lord uses, and I'm using here, as an illustration of our spiritual situation, of us being in our sin. This pit that we're stuck in is what we are stuck in, our sin. And I'll dive more into that. But realize that all these things, I'm not just talking about us being stuck in a hole. There might be a lot of life lessons and a lot of things we can learn from how did we get in a hole and how do we get out of a hole. But this is so much more important than that. So the first question is, how did I get in a pit? Look here in Psalm 88 and look at verse 3. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth near unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. How did I get here? Well, an important question is, whose pit am I in? Whose pit is this? Well, the pit is mine. I'm stuck in my pit. It's my sin that I'm stuck in. It's not someone else's. We can't say that this is your pit and I'm just stuck in it here too. It's my pit. It is my problem. Sin is my problem, and it's your problem. Your sin is your problem. My sin's not your problem, and your sin's not my problem. We like to look at each other's sins and pick each other's sins out and talk about each other's sins, but it's my sin. That's my problem. And then we ask, when did I fall into this pit? When did I get in it? Well, there's two specific answers to this. The first is, I fell in the pit in Adam. God created man after his own image, and he was perfect. But Adam in the garden sinned. And when he sinned, I sinned. He's my father. I came from him. We all came from him. And when he sinned, because sin is his nature, that's who we are. We're born in it. That's a tough thing to hear. Now, hold on a second. Are you telling me I'm in a pit because of somebody else, what they did? Well, yes. But guess what? We're also in a pit because when we were born, we started sinning. Not only are we in the pit that Adam made for us, but we're in the pit that we made for ourselves. Our sin, we're born into it. And you know what? We commit it on a momentary basis. Every minute by minute, we're sinning. Not only is it our pit, but we fell into it before the foundation. Well, when Adam fell, and we fell into it ourselves. And guess what, guys? We kind of like it in our pit. You know, if you don't like something, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to stop doing it, right? If I don't like a job, I can quit my job. If I don't like where I live, I can move. If I don't like my house, I'll get a different one. There's all these things. If I don't like my car, I'm getting a different one. We have all these options to get out of it. But guess what? We can't even for a moment stop sinning. Because not only is it who we are, but we like it. We enjoy it. We can't stop. So we fell in the pit, into our own pit. And what about this question? How did the pit get there? Well, turn over to Psalm chapter 9. We don't really have a text this morning, but the word pit is used so often in the Scriptures, and I wanted to show you a bunch, but I'm going to stick to the Psalms for almost all of them. That way we can actually see a few extra. Psalm chapter 9. How did this pit, how did our pit get there? Psalm chapter 9, look at verse 15. The heathen, that's us, are sunk down in the pit that they made. I made this pit for myself. Look back a page at Psalm 7, verse 14. Behold, he, or us, travaileth with iniquity. We work with sin, and have conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. We made a pit. We digged it, and we are fallen into the ditch that we made. We dug our own pit. Now, how silly is that? Imagine going into your backyard with a shovel and just digging a hole. Digging it as deep as you could possibly dig it. And then falling into your own pit. And then blaming everybody else for that problem. That's what we've done. We dug our own pit. And we keep digging. This is not a past tense thing that we dug a pit, we fell in it, and we're stuck in it. No, we're in our pit right now, and we're just digging. We just keep digging. We can't stop. We just sin, sin, and sin. So, is this pit dangerous? You know, being stuck somewhere is not always that bad. You know, maybe something happens when you're on vacation and you can't leave. Well, that's a pretty good situation to be stuck in. Well, is this pit we're stuck in dangerous? Turn with me to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, look at verse 15. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. This pit that we're in, this pit will shut its mouth on us. It will swallow us up. Our sin will be the death of us. Now, our sin will be our death physically. These bodies are going to die. These sinful bodies, this sinful flesh will die. Everyone dies. And they all die because of their sin. That's why we die. That's why this body dies. But spiritually speaking, we will also die in our sin. It will be the death of us. In Psalm 89, don't turn, I'll read this to you. It says, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his own soul from the hand of the pit? From the hand of the grave. It says, anyone who lives will see death. And ask the question, is he possibly able to deliver his soul from the hand of death? From the hand of the grave? We can't. This pit is more dangerous than we even know. We value our lives. We value our flesh. We value our health. But this pit is going to swallow us up. It will be the death of us. after all the negativity of this, I hope the Lord makes us to understand that we're in a pit. Hey, the Scriptures say it. I'm telling you, anybody who has been shown their situation understands they're stuck in a pit. So let's get to the more important question. How do I get out of the pit? How do I get out of this situation? How can I get out of my sin? Can I get myself out? Can I get myself out of the pit? So think about this. If you fall into a pit, you fall into a really deep hole, what's the first thing you're going to do? Well, for me, I'm going to try to get out. Now, if I'm strong, I'm going to try to climb my way out. If I'm smart, I'm going to try to think of a way out. If I'm clever, I'm going to try to trick my way out. Whatever it is, I'm going to try to figure a way out. And once I figure that I can't get myself out, that's the only time I'll do anything different. Well, this is what man does. When man hears that they're sinners, that they're in trouble, they're stuck in a pit, we do everything we can to get ourselves out. Unfortunately, religion today has a very bad habit of telling us that we can get out of this pit. But we don't need to spend more time on this. Let me just tell you, you can't get out of the pit. Okay? If this is a pit, is a deep, bottomless pit. Okay? If it really is bottomless, not only can we not get out of the pit, we can't stop falling. Does that make sense? If it doesn't have a bottom, our sin does not have a bottom to it. We sin so much and so often that we are constantly falling into this pit. So not only can we not get out, we can't even stop ourselves from getting deeper in the pit. So if I can't get myself out, the next thing I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to find somebody who can help me get out. All right, who in here can help me get out of this pit? Like the two of us together, let's figure this out. Or three of us, or how many ever it takes, who can help me get out of the pit? Who can help me get out of this despair of my sin? Well, I don't know about any of you guys, but I can't help someone get out of a situation that I can't get myself out of. How many people are there in religion today standing up before people right now telling them, if you do this, if you do that, you can get out of this pit? Well, if you're in the pit, why don't you do that? I mean, really, would you take any advice from someone who is standing, when you fell into the pit, if somebody's next to you and you get in there and you say, what are you doing? I've been here forever. Are you going to take their advice on how to get out of the pit? I know that sounds hilarious, but that's what everybody's doing today. People are saying, if you do this, you don't do that, if you'll just stand up, fly right, do all these things, that's just ridiculous. It's one sinner telling another sinner how not to sin, and it's ridiculous. And even if we could, we already are sinners. A person who steals something is a thief. If you stop stealing things, you're still a thief. You can't ever change that. Once you've stolen something, you are a thief. We've sinned. We're always going to be sinners. There's no changing that. So if I can't get myself out, nobody can help me get out, is there another man that can get me out? Well, I'm saying this rhetorically, and we don't need to spend time on it. If you can't get yourself out, you can't get me out. There's no hope. In the flesh, there's no hope. There's just nothing. There's no man, woman, anybody who can help us get out. So this is tough. We're stuck somewhere. A place that is dangerous. The most dangerous situation we could possibly be in. And there's nobody. We can't help ourselves. We can't help each other. And nobody, no, there's nobody else. There's no other man, woman, anybody. They can get us out. Well, what do we do? Well, there is one who is able. We just heard Mike sing a song. There is one. There is one. There's only one who can save us. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40. Let me read you something out of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, from the pit. That's the same word. The Lord redeemeth thy life from the pit, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. This says right here that there is one who can get us out of the pit. There is a way. If the Lord has shown us that we're stuck in a deadly pit, the moment you hear there's someone who is able to get you out of the pit, what do? If I'm in the pit, if you're stuck in a pit, all right, and you realize you can't get yourself out, what are you going to do? I imagine this: if I'm walking in the woods somewhere by myself and I fall in a hole and I realize I can't get out, there is something I'm going to do. I'm going to do it because I want to live. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs. And this is not some, you know, I've got little children, and you can tell the difference in the cry. You can tell the difference when someone is crying for something that's not important. You can hear that little bit of a, there's either like a little whine into it or a helplessness to it or something that's kind of like, you know, Dad, like an anger maybe, something like that. And there's a difference in the cry you hear when someone needs you. When you hear that cry, you know you're needed. And that's the cry we must have. We don't cry to our Lord and say things like, Lord, you know, I'd kind of like your help, you know, if you want to. I mean, no, a cry out to our Lord is just like, turn with me to Psalm 31. I want you to see this. What do you do when you realize you're in a pit and you can't get out? I'll read another one to you first. Psalm 143 says this: Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. I don't want to be stuck in the pit. Hear my words. Now listen to this. I love this. Psalm 31 verse 16 says, Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. This psalm says right here, Lord, don't let me be ashamed to cry out to you. Now, it seems like we shouldn't have to say that. If I'm stuck in a pit and I can't get out, literally stuck in a hole, I'm going to scream, and I don't care what anyone else says about me. All I care about is getting out of the hole. I don't care how I scream. I don't care if my voice sounds funny. I don't care what words I use. I'll give anything if you'll just get me out of the pit. That's how we need to cry unto our Lord. I'm ashamed that oftentimes I'm ashamed at the things I don't say or don't do in the public. A topic comes up and I just kind of meander around it. I don't want to stand up in front of other people and be like, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, and if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't save me, I'm going to die. But that's what we got to cry out. We desperately have to cry out to Him. We need Him. Let us not be ashamed. And as I read in that other verse, we ask the Lord, please hear us speedily. Thankfully, the Lord does things in His will and His time that's perfect for us. But I'm not ashamed to say, Lord, I'd like it to be real quick. Can you give me assurance in the moment right away? Because if you don't, I'm going to do the same thing I always do. I'm going to doubt. My unbelief, I'm going to struggle with it. Hear me speedily, Lord. Don't hide your face from me. So there is one who is able. When will He take me out of the pit? Our brother read Isaiah 53, and that story, that there is one able. He is able. Now, why is He able? Well, he's able because he became a man. Now, I already said that no man can help us, but this is the God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ took his children out of the pit before time began. He chose a people before time began. He elected a people to save them. As well as he saved us when he became a man. And he did what we couldn't. He didn't sin. He lived perfectly. He was tempted as we are. Though he did not fail, he never sinned. And then he died bearing our sins on the tree. He was made sin. He took our sin, was pressed upon him. He's the one who died for our sins. And in turn, we got his righteousness. We got his perfection, his holiness. He saved us from the pit. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. Turn with me to 1 Peter. We're just going to turn to a couple places here, but 1 Peter chapter 1. There is one able to save us. He's the one, the only one. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. This says right here, you were not redeemed or you were not saved with corruptible things. Nothing that's been contaminated with sin. It says you weren't saved with silver and gold. You couldn't buy your way out of it. You weren't saved from vain conversation. There was nothing you could say, nothing you could do to get yourself out. You weren't saved by tradition from your fathers. You weren't saved by any ordinances or being baptized or any of those things. Verse 19 says, you were saved, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. He redeemed us before the foundation of the world. Yet it was not made known to us until these last times. We just didn't know it. So I've told you there is one able to redeem you, to save you from the pit. What if I fall back into the pit? I mean, you know, the first thing that would happen to me if I got out of a hole is I'd look and try to find where the hole was so I didn't fall back in it. So the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. He got us out of the hole. And He did it by reaching down and grabbing us by the scruff of the neck and pulling us out of the hole. He did it. He took us out. And once He does that, He doesn't let go of us. We're so worried about falling back in it, but we just don't realize that He's got us. He never lets go of us. Let me read this verse in Psalm 30 to you. I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the pit. He has brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. The only reason we don't go back to the pit is because He won't let us. He not only took us out of the pit, which is amazing, but we can't fall back into the pit. Despite our constant sinning and our unbelief and our lack of faith, we can't fall back in because He's got us. He holds us. And listen, turn with me to John chapter 4. We're going to close in John chapter 4. Let me first read you a couple verses from Job. Job is a great example of being in such dire straits. But in Job it says these verses. This is all from one passage. It says, He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver me from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I have found one who will save me. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit. He will save our souls, and his life shall see the light. And to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living, we get his life from our death. His death, him dying on the cross, gave us life, eternal life. Okay, in John chapter 4, let's close with one of the illustrations or one of the stories our Lord uses, himself speaking of a pit. And in this story, this pit is a well. A well is just a pit that has water at the bottom of it. And look at this story that we all know in John 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. The Lord was wearied, and he went to this well. Verse 7, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. The Lord went to the place where this woman was going to go. We often think that somehow we approach him, but the only way anything ever happens is he goes to where he draws us. He brings us to him. The Lord does all this. But she said to him, when he asked her, will you give me to drink? In verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. This woman immediately recognizes it and says, why are you even talking to me? I'm not worthy of your conversation. You shouldn't even give me a moment of time. Jesus answered and said, in verse 10, unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? He says unto her, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for living water. And her response is just like ours. You don't have anything to get any water. You can't get anything out of the pit. Like, how are you going to do that? She thinks she's the one who has the way to live. She thinks she's the one who can get him water, not vice versa. Look at verse 12. She says, how are you going to get living water? Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? This woman looks at the Lord and says to him, do you think you're greater than the one who dug this hole? We ask the Lord, we think to ourselves, do you think, I dug this hole. Like, who are you? I'm the one who did it. This woman thinks that this hole, that has it has kept her and her family alive. This hole has water at the bottom. But what it's doing is it's keeping this flesh temporarily alive. The Lord is telling her, I've got something to keep your soul alive that can save you. She says, are you greater than Jacob, the one who dug the hole? Don't we think that we are greater than everyone else? She is bragging on the pit. She's bragging on her own sin, the hole. Jesus answered in verse 13 and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Anyone who goes back to the pit is going to need the pit again. If we're dependent on our sin is going to be the end of us. But, verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We need, because the Lord lived perfectly, he took the fury of our sin. He took the punishment that was due us. And he gave us what we needed. Look at verse 15. Once he says this to her, if you drink my water, if you drink from my well, then you will have everlasting life. And she said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to dwell. When the Lord shows us that He has what we need, when He offers us, that's the wrong term, when He gives us everlasting life, when He gives us everlasting life, we realize, she said here, give me this water that I don't have to come back to this well. When the Lord gives us everlasting life, is this the only thing that can happen that can make us not go back to our pit? He gives us what we need. He makes us to realize that we can't satisfy it. We must go to Him instead. The Lord said to her in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And He shows this woman through the next few verses what we already know. When He approaches us, we have to know that we're a sinner. And we're in the same boat. Anything that's said to us is going to call us out of who we are. We're going to show our truth. We're going to show that we have this sin that's just, that's all we heard. That's all we are. And then in verse 25, she says, after all this, she goes, The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And the Lord said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He will make himself known to us. He is the one who will bring everlasting life. He will tell us all things. So in summary, two questions. How did I get in the pit? I got in the pit because I'm a sinner. I'm stuck in the pit. I've been there ever since I was born. I'm stuck in a pit. And I can't get out of the pit. This pit is ultimately dangerous for us and will cause us death. How do I get out of my sin? I can't do it myself. But there is one who is able. How do we get out of the pit? We cry to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it be His will, if He chose us, He will save us. That's our only hope. We're completely dependent on Him. And the last thing I want to say is this. Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory for saving us from our own despair and our destruction? He gets it. He gets all the glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the only one who can save us. And Lord willing, He would just make us to cry out constantly. Every time that we just cry, that's all we would do. We'd be better off if we didn't do anything else. And we think to ourselves, well, what do? I gotta make money. I gotta take care of my family, all these things. If we just cried out to Him constantly, He's the one who's taking care of Him anyway. Just crying to Him and asking, Lord, please save me from my sin. All right.